Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about today, and we invite your phone calls. Our number is 888-302-3684, 888-302-3684. We invite your phone calls because we want you to participate in the dialogue. We also have lots of stuff to talk about today. And I guess a theme of today's program is that some of the things that we have come to accept as verities, as truisms in medicine, well, under the light of scrutiny, they say that sunlight is the best disinfectant. When we look at these things very closely and evaluate them scientifically, that they turn out not to be the case. In a few moments, we're going to talk about NewThink re-diet, in particular, the role of saturated fats in causation of cardiovascular disease. That is something that a lot of people accept and still believe. In fact, the American Heart Association continues to recommend that people reduce their intake of saturated fat, that they have low-fat dairy, that they trim the fat from their meat, that they have white meat chicken breasts without the skin, and so on and so on. But new studies are suggesting that that just may not be the case. And we're going to take a look at some significant backlash. And if you remember the movie Sleeper with Woody Allen, that takes us back quite a few years, I'm going to share with you a commentary that suggests that what's happening vis-a-vis diet advice is pretty much what Woody foresaw almost verbatim in the movie Sleeper way back when. I guess that's 1970s. 888-302-3684, and we'd like to hear from you. We're taking your phone calls momentarily, but before we do that, okay, here's something that is one of those truisms that has recently been overturned. We know that aspirin is essential for preventing heart attacks and strokes, and so lots of people have been convinced that past a certain age, let's say arbitrarily, the cutoff might be age 40, as we enter the age of cardiovascular risk, that virtually everyone should be taking an aspirin for prevention. No biggie, just pop one of these little pills, and it will ward off all manner of calamities, heart attacks and strokes. And this is actually the basis of advertising campaigns by such entities as Bayer Aspirin. They tell you that your best prevention against a heart attack is to take an aspirin a day. And in fact, it was suggested a few years back that everyone over the age of 40 takes something called a poly pill. This created a big splash in a medical journal called The Lancet because they suggested that the poly pill, which is something that every adult over the age of 40 should take, would consist of course, low-dose aspirin and a statin to lower cholesterol and a little bit of a blood pressure medication. And in those days, it was thought that B vitamins were helpful. Well, we still think that they might be helpful, but a little B6, folic acid, and B12 to reduce homocysteine. And that was thought to be helpful in terms of reducing the risk of heart disease. And it was proposed that we get low-cost generic manufacturers to make the poly pill and make it available cheaply to every adult in the Western world. And by their extrapolation or calculation, that we would dramatically reduce the incidence of cardiovascular disease. Well, the poly pill never really made it off the drawing boards, and for good reason, because we have all these ideas and hypotheses about how medications help to prevent disease, but in many cases, you know, they're kind of like those early planes that were on the drawing boards, and when they were tried out, they crashed and burned before the Wright brothers managed to get their plane off the ground. Well, Bayer Aspirin just petitioned the FDA to be able to claim that aspirin prevents heart attacks. Pretty reasonable claim. A lot of people would subscribe to that. And surprisingly, headline, FDA comes out against aspirin to prevent first heart attacks. So let's qualify here. first heart attacks. What we're talking about here is primary prevention. In other words, if you've not had a heart attack, if you've not had a stroke, if you don't have an extraordinarily high risk due to something like atrial fibrillation or a heart valve or something that requires that you thin your blood, if you've not had prior stenting, or if you've not had bypass surgery, well, then they say that even though you may be middle-aged, male, slightly overweight, your cholesterol's a little high, they say that even in those instances that they discourage the use of that aspirin a day, so-called low-dose aspirin. By the way, the origin of low-dose aspirin was that it was originally called baby aspirin. That turned out to be a bad idea because giving babies aspirin can be disastrous. It can cause something called Reye syndrome, which is a horrendous condition that affects some of the children who take aspirin for fever. So nowadays, child has a fever, they say take a little Tylenol. But aspirin, no. Well, what are they going to do with all those low-dose aspirin pills that we were given to babies? Oh, we've got a good idea. Let's give them to adults. That's an even bigger market. And so low-dose aspirin was retooled for adults over a certain age who were at risk. So what the FDA said is, quote, they've reviewed the available data, and they do not believe the evidence supports the general use of aspirin for primary prevention of a heart attack or stroke. In fact, there are serious risks associated with the use of aspirin, including increased risk of bleeding in the stomach and the brain. In the brain, there are two types of strokes. One's caused by the blood's too thick. That would be a thrombotic stroke, and aspirin can prevent those types of strokes. But aspirin thins the blood, and it can cause another type of stroke called a hemorrhagic stroke, a brain bleed. The FDA, however, said that aspirin could certainly be used in secondary prevention, but secondary prevention means once you've had a problem, trying to prevent that problem from coming back. If you've had a heart attack, you've had a stroke, okay, fine. So they went through all the evidence, and they found the evidence wanting. The evidence was not strong enough to suggest that the benefits of aspirin, which are slight, were not outweighed by the downsides of aspirin, which are very real. Even low-dose aspirin can cause gastrointestinal bleeding. It happens tens of thousands of times each year in the United States, even in people taking low-dose aspirin every day. So a lot of people are going to say, well, what about that coated aspirin, enteric-coated aspirin? That's the so-called safe aspirin that's not going to cause an ulcer. Well, that's been looked at. The word enteric comes from a Greek word for intestine, and an enteric coating allows the aspirin to pass through the stomach directly into the small intestine before dissolving. So the problem here is that it's unclear that this completely eliminates the risk of bleeding, because some people have different types of intestinal transit. Stuff stays in the stomach in some people because they have slow digestion, and the enteric coating melts, and the aspirin still ends up in the stomach. So it's very, very, there's no enteric coating that is foolproof, that always prevents the aspirin from landing on the stomach wall. But part of the problem with enteric-coated aspirin is that if you take it for pain, it doesn't work right away. Aspirin works pretty quick for pain, but when it's enteric-coated, it could take 3 or 4 hours for it to work. The other thing about enteric-coated aspirin is that some people like to use aspirin, then they like to use a little bit of Motrin, ibuprofen, you know, a so-called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Aspirin should not be taken at the same time that you take ibuprofen. So the regular aspirin that's not enteric-coated, you could take the aspirin, and then you could take the ibuprofen maybe a few hours later, 6 hours later, and there won't be any interference. But because enteric-coated aspirin takes longer to be absorbed, ibuprofen seems to interfere with it for at least 12 hours. So there's really no clear way to avoid the interaction with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, which might completely neutralize the blood-thinning effect of aspirin. So I say, you know, you want prevention. Say you're 40 years old, you're concerned about cardiovascular disease, maybe cholesterol's a little high, and your belly a little bit big, you're not exercising enough. You know, your usual sort of worried, well, 50-something-year-old guy, especially men being more prone to cardiovascular disease. Instead of aspirin, take something like chiolic aged garlic extract. It has a blood thinning effect, reduces cholesterol. It seems to reduce inflammation, protects the wall of the artery. Consider other things like pycnogenol. Consider green tea or curcumin. My favorite brand, Mariva curcumin, because it's better absorbed. Absolutely take fish oil, because fish oil, demonstrable benefits in terms of cardiovascular disease, and a lot of benefits besides in terms of reducing inflammation, enhancing mood, even reducing risk of cancer. So there's so many ways around this aspirin conundrum. And, you know, I predict that a lot of doctors are going to ignore this advice. They're going to tell their patients, take the aspirin anyway, even though the Food and Drug Administration, the biggest regulatory agency in the country, is now saying, don't bother with aspirin for what's called primary prevention, if you haven't had a heart attack or stroke already. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some of your phone calls, 888-302-3684. That's our number for this Rock'em Sock'em weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we believe that omega oils are essential to an extraordinary life. By correcting the global omega-3 deficiency, each generation can have the opportunity to grow healthy and strong, so you can do more of what you love with those you love. What's essential to us is proven purity and leading freshness. All of our oils surpass strict international standards for purity and freshness. Our oxygen-free processing combined with natural flavoring ensures no fishy smell, taste, or aftertaste. 100% of our fish is wild-caught, sourced in line with the Norwegian Fisheries Management System, and processed with minimal environmental impact. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health food stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and our first caller is Joe from New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. I wanted to know what you thought. I was diagnosed with a hiatus hernia, and they did all kinds of other tests with me, and they found nothing wrong with me, but every day I'm throwing up, and I have tremendous burping. Every single day, that's been going on for over a year now. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, let me just put it this way. Hiatal hernia is a finding that you get when you do, usually these days via endoscopy. They'll look down and they'll see that what has happened is that a part of the stomach has herniated or popped through a little opening in your diaphragm. And instead of being below the diaphragm, it's above the diaphragm. So it's popped out. Now this can occur in a lot of people, due to simply the effects of aging, or, you know, often because there's, abdominal fat that's pushing against the stomach, causing the esophagus to, or the upper part of the stomach to pop up where the esophagus should be. And that's often fingered as the culprit when people have gastrointestinal problems. But to me, it's a very common finding. It's, you know, I think virtually half of the population could be found to have a mild hiatal hernia. And it's a little bit like when they say, oh, you've got a deviated septum. Oh, that's why you've got chronic nasal congestion or problems, so you might need surgery to straighten that out. That's a very common finding, too. Most people have asymmetric nasal septae, you know, this little dividing bone between your nostrils. So, you know, you describe the symptoms of what could be called SIBO, which is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And this is a really common problem. It's responsible for a lot of, especially upper intestinal distress, where you're, you know, the food is upchucking and you're having a lot of belching, a lot of gas production. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? How old are you?
About 45.
You're what?
45.
45. Okay, what's your height and weight, sir?
I'm 5'10" and about 245.
So bingo, right there we've got a problem, because when I'm 5'10" and I'm, you know, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm 5'10" and I'm like 165. And so more proper weight for you would be a lot less. You have a lot of abdominal fat that's pressing on your stomach, that's pushing the stomach and causing your part of your stomach to pop through the diaphragm, causing a hiatal hernia. So that's number one problem. What do you have for breakfast? That's often a very telling piece of information. What's a typical breakfast for you?
Well, I guess I have some orange juice.
Right.
Yogurt, a little toast.
A little orange juice, yogurt, toast. Okay. Is it low-fat yogurt?
Yeah, low-fat yogurt.
But it's not plain yogurt. You like a little flavor in your yogurt, right?
Yeah, lately I've been eating the plain yogurt.
Oh, plain yogurt. Oh, so you're getting away from the flavored yogurts, which are full of sugar. Okay. So toast, orange juice. What's your protein? What do you have? Do you have eggs? Do you have anything else? Do you have cereal? What do you have?
Yeah, sometimes I have a whey protein drink.
A whey protein drink? Okay. Okay, so let me just tell you that type of breakfast is kind of a recipe for disaster, because the orange juice is full of sugar, and the yogurt that's low fat is actually full of a type of milk sugar. And so what you can get is you sort of get a fermenting vat. You know, typical American breakfast is like a grain cereal, maybe a whole grain cereal with skim milk, sometimes with soy milk. Then people drink a glass of orange juice. They have a cup of coffee, and all that stuff mixes around in your stomach and creates a great bubble toil and trouble. And have you required antibiotics for any type of problem in the recent past?
No, not recently.
Not recently, but have you taken antibiotics for a problem like frequent sore throats or acne or anything like that in the past?
No.
Not even. Okay, because that can sometimes upset the balance in your intestinal tract. What about alcohol intake? What are we talking there?
No, I don't drink alcohol.
Okay, because certain beverages like beer can really add to the fermentive effect of you know, the diet. Okay, so some things, you know, really you need a dietary approach to this. You need a lower carbohydrate diet. We need to eliminate the simple sugars. We would also suggest that you take a probiotic. My favorite and one of our sponsors is Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. It's a very, very nice blend of 12 different beneficial bacteria. You want to restore the balance. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to use certain natural herbs that kill off the harmful bacteria. We could use olive leaf. We could use oregano. These are some of the things that actually help to combat bacterial overgrowth. But sometimes even we might use a medication. There's a medication called Xifaxan, which is a prescription drug that is used to get rid of harmful bacteria. Sometimes it's a yeast problem. An overgrowth of yeast can cause a great deal of fermentation, and we might use natural yeast fighters, or alternatively, we could use an antifungal medication to reduce the, literally, there's a lot of gas production when yeast ferments. You can take any sugar, and you can add yeast. That's the way that the distillery business works when you're making alcohol, is you take any kind of fermentable carbohydrate, add some yeast, and there you go. You're up to the races. You make alcohol and you make carbon dioxide, which causes a lot of belching, burping, and distress. So, you know, those are some of the things that we really ought to work on. And this could be part of a program to restore your overall health, because you're a young guy, 45, you're overweight. You need to turn things around for sure. All right, when we turn around, we're going to discuss a big fat surprise that echoes some of the predictions in Woody Allen's amazing movie, Sleeper. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason?
is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Our number is 888-302-3684. And this week marks another turnaround. You know, we talked about aspirin earlier and the turnaround on aspirin. Everyone should take aspirin for prevention. Well, no, it turns out, you know, take aspirin if you've had a heart attack or stroke. But, you know, if you're just trying to prevent disease, well, it's, you know, no big whoop. There's been a big turnaround in our understanding of the role that saturated fat plays in cardiovascular disease. Now, the headline in some of these newspapers that report on this, it sounds like a hoax. Saturated fat does not cause heart disease. But it's very real because we now have studies that have evaluated the role that saturated fat plays in the diet. And it turns out that while we're having a lot more cardiovascular disease in this country, it's not per se because we're consuming saturated fat. In fact, we're consuming a relatively less saturated fat. We're consuming more fat in the form of poor quality vegetable oils and some of the oils that are used to make fast food. These are not saturated fats. The saturated fat that comes from meat or even full-fat dairy does not appear to be implicated in the current epidemic of cardiovascular disease. We're simply eating too much. We're eating too much in the way of synthetic food. And we're eating too many refined carbohydrates, and we're consuming too much sugar in the form of supercharged soft drinks. That seems to be what is driving the current epidemic. And what's fascinating about this, I came across an article that references Woody Allen's 1973 movie Sleeper. Now, that takes us back, but 1973, that was my heyday of useful movie watching. And I discovered this amazingly funny guy with glasses, Woody Allen. And one of the first movies of his that I saw, and I was convulsed with laughter. I mean, I just like nearly died in the theater, was Sleeper. And that's the movie, remember, Miles Monroe is the character that he plays, who he owns a health food store in the village. Now, you have to realize how hip that was in 1973. It was like the era of, you know, a few health food stores that had, you know, like a few nuts and grains, some limp organic vegetables. And his health food store was called The Happy Carrot. And in that movie, somehow he stumbles into a time warp and he wakes up 2 centuries later, in 2173. Now, you have to realize that this is, this is like 40 years ago. But so it didn't take 2 centuries. It only took 40 years. But in that movie, verbatim, I'm going to quote you, Alan jokes, or the character Miles Monroe, wakes up in this new century and he discovers that all the rules have changed, that the world has changed, and things that we thought back in 1973 were completely turned on their end. And he notes that all the things that they thought were good for you, like wheat germ and honey, it turns out they're no good for you. But, as direct quote from the movie, deep fat, cream pies, and steak are now regarded as health enhancing. So there's a big article in the Wall Street Journal this week in which they talk about this. And this coincides with the release of a new book by Nina Teicholz. And we've reached out to her people And she will be a guest on one of our weekday podcasts. By the way, if you're listening to this program and you think, well, this is the sum total of the Intelligent Medicine output, it's only the tip of the iceberg, because we have podcasts that are on virtually a daily basis, and we interview very interesting personalities in the field of nutrition and health. And Nina Teichholz will be our guest in June, talking about her new book, A Big Fat Surprise. And in it, she analyzes what happened. How did we go wrong in our nutritional science? And this is truly a cautionary tale about scientific consensus. And it even has implications for our global warming debate, because when they say, look, however you feel about that, and, you know, clearly it's a very partisan issue, and we want to protect the planet and we want to reduce environmental pollution. But when it comes to scientific consensus, you have to be very careful when you draw conclusions that have broad implications, such as what's the right diet for Americans, because we took a serious wrong turn when we developed the food pyramid. The food pyramid was based on the idea that fat was bad and that, you know, unlimited so-called complex carbohydrates were good. The food industry said, great, no problem. Have it your way, and we'll produce a whole raft of low-fat products. Well, what ended up happening is Americans got fatter on low-fat products. Another time warp moment that refers to this is the Seinfeld episode from the early 90s, where they started slurping low-fat yogurt. And the low-fat yogurt, lo and behold, made the entire Seinfeld crew fatter and fatter and fatter. And so we have to beware of unforeseen consequences of broad and sweeping scientific theories that, we need to scrutinize them and reevaluate them, continuously applying some degree of skepticism to our views on the ideal diet. And, clearly, this is an example of where we took a major wrong turn in our public policy recommendations. By the way, a big movie that's coming out this week talks about the abysmal state of the American diet. And its author, actually, the producer is Lori David. Now, you know Larry David, the Larry David Show. Larry David is also the guy who wrote Seinfeld. Lori David is his ex-wife, and she is a great documentary producer. Like it or not, whether you agree with the ideas behind it or not, her movie on climate change, An Inconvenient Truth, was a great polemical movie, making a case for climate change and that we need to do something about it. Now she's turned her sights on what she sees as another problem of our time, the American food system. And so she's got a new documentary, which opens up this weekend. It's called Fed Up. Check it out. Go look at the trailer. And it explores the paradox of how obesity rates in the country have doubled over the past 30 years, at the same time that supermarket shelves are bulging with fat-free products. So what in the heck went wrong? The film is going to be narrated and produced by Katie Couric. So she also takes a prominent role in this. I think this is right. It's no secret that Lori David is in favor of government regulation of the food industry. That's another issue entirely, depending on where you are in the political spectrum. But I think this movie is going to go a long way to increase awareness about the abysmal state of the American diet and about the role that the food industry plays. They're very complicit in dishing the wrong kind of food to us that's undermining our health. And it could ultimately undermine our entire healthcare system and affect our national economy and our national security as people get sicker and sicker, and as we spend more and more money addressing problems related to our dietary choices. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Taking an omega-3 has become part of my daily routine, but I did have some concerns about the environment and, quite frankly, the occasional fishy burp back. So I looked around and discovered a new eco-friendly and vegetarian alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. While it's no secret growing older can be a challenge, my doctor stresses the importance of omega-3s in helping to achieve and maintain a healthy lifestyle throughout all the stages of my life. I discovered that many health experts encourage supplementation with omega-3s to help support cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. Chia Omega is a high-quality, all-natural, plant-based line of supplements made from chia seed oil. Chia seeds are the richest and most sustainable natural sources of ALA omega-3 on the planet, containing even more than fish or flax. Having choices concerning my health and making a conscientious change benefiting the environment feels empowering. That's why I switched to Chia Omega. You can get essential formulas Chia Omega at Vitamin Shop and other fine health food stores everywhere.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Among the bizarre stories on the health front this week, I don't think you could top this one. Vampire therapy could reverse aging, scientists find. A transfusion of youthful blood may halt or even reverse the aging process, as two studies find that the chemical makeup of younger blood has surprising health benefits. Now, Dracula knew about this. Dracula was, what, 600 years old? And he would get, you know, many movies when they depict Dracula, you know, he just starts to take on that kind of aged, gray look, cadaverous. Until he gets his shot of young blood, preferably from a young virgin. And this is all gothic horror novel stuff, part of our popular culture, because there's a popular series, or there was, on HBO called True Blood. And in that series, what they tried to do is they recognized that there are a lot of vampires around. They're saying, look, okay, let's deal with it. Let's make it legal. Let's make it safe. We're going to offer them a product called True Blood. True Blood is a, you know, drink. It's like a soda pop for vampires, and it would obviate the need for vampires to crunch down on the necks of young, unsuspecting victims. And you could see that the vampires, when they were drinking the True Blood, they were a little not that happy with it because it wasn't the real thing. I mean, it was okay enough to help them survive. But this is part and parcel of our culture. In fact, ancient tribes used to engage in human sacrifice and to strengthen the warriors. They would drink the blood of young sacrificial victims, or victors in battle would literally gorge on the blood of young warriors who they've vanquished. And there's a modern day equivalent, because let's think, who's the craziest person in the world today? Let's, you know, think for a moment. Possibly North Korean dictator Kim Jong Il. I think that's the father. That's the one who died. He attempted to rejuvenate himself by injecting himself with blood from healthy young virgins to slow the aging process. This really happened in North Korea. But there may be a real basis for this. Scientists have discovered that young blood recharges the brain and helps to form new synaptic links between neurons, and it improves memory and learning. They discovered this in two experiments. Aging mice were given 8 infusions of young blood over 3 weeks, and they improved their performance in mental tests. maze tests and locating a hidden platform. In another experiment, and this shows you that this doesn't sound too practical, they actually linked, they like Siamese twins, a young mouse with an older mouse, and the like, you know, joined them. They joined them at the waist, literally, and they shared a common blood supply, and that had a beneficial effect on the older mouse. Probably not such a good effect on the younger mouse. So, I mean, I don't think that's a practical way of implementing this. But scientists have actually tracked this down to a specific protein known as GDF11. It's present in the bloodstream in large quantities when we're young, but it kind of peters out as you age. Dr. Doug Melton of Harvard, he heads the Department of Stem Cell and Regenerative Biology. That's pretty cool. He says this should give us all hope for a healthier future. So it isn't out of the question that GDF11 or a drug developed from it might be worthwhile in degenerative disease to halt the aging process or specifically to combat Alzheimer's disease. Not clear whether this is going to work in people because this has been tried in mice. What works in mice? We've cured many diseases in mice. We've cured obesity. We've helped turn the tide against Alzheimer's. Doesn't translate sometimes to humans. But this is an interesting new development. Vampire therapy could reverse aging. I'm Dr. Ronald Huffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Here's some news you can use. New studies on extra virgin coconut oil. Why does it have to be extra virgin? Well, processed coconut oil may lose its antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral properties. There is something in natural extra virgin coconut oil called monolaurin, and it may be helpful against a wide variety of harmful pathogens. It's been used traditionally in many cultures for dry skin and psoriasis, and new research suggests that it's the real deal. You know, a big problem is something called MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph aureus. It's a terrible type of infection. It sometimes starts on the skin, but can devour the entire body, and it's hard to kill with antibiotics because the antibiotics no longer work. Recent study, you know, I'll cite several studies here, of patients who were initially colonized with staph. After 4 weeks of treatment, only one patient with extra virgin coconut oil remained colonized with staph aureus compared to six patients who were treated with antibiotics. They looked at also the anti-acne bacteria effects of extra virgin coconut oil. Propionibacterium acnes is thought to be one of the major pathogens that causes acne. P. acnes causes acne vulgaris. And extra virgin coconut oil has strong activity against P. acnes without the drying, irritating or burning effects and skin reddening effects of such treatments as benzoyl peroxide. So it might be a helpful adjunct in the treatment of acne. By the way, our newsletter article this next week is going to be on natural treatment of acne. So subscribe to our newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com and subscribe. So you can use extra virgin coconut oil. I find it very effective against skin infections, acne, allergic dermatitis, impetigo, wound infections, even psoriasis. And it has a wonderful aroma, so it's very pleasant to use. Well, thanks for joining us for this hour of Intelligent Medicine. We'll be back with another hour of information. I'm Dr. Ronald Huffman.